If you got your Bibles with me, will you do me a favor? First of all, will you wave them at me?
Yes.
That's what a great testimony. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel, please. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 22. See, I'm not sure where to go. Go to Daniel, take a left, and Lamentations, and take a right. You know, this morning, I'm not at liberty to say a name this morning, but I have a dear preacher friend that went home to be with the Lord. I'll probably be able to share that tonight, his name. Right now, his church and family's finding out about it. I want you to pray for that dear family. Man's younger than I am, been fighting a real battle, and he's with the Lord this morning out of his suffering. He preached as recently as Sunday, and he's gone. And so be much in prayer for him. Also, I mentioned those folks at Greystone. Pray for them. Pray for the preacher. He's a great man. Great man. And his wife, pray their health and God touches them. Now, I want you to do me a favor this morning. I want you to go to Ezekiel 22. I will probably be preaching this morning one of the most timely messages that I have preached in a long time. I need your prayers. I hope you didn't come this morning just to hear a sermon, just to hear 30 minutes of preaching. I hope you came this morning to hear from God. And what I'll be preaching this morning is the need of the hour. I'm pressed this morning. Chad, I feel the weight of this message on my heart this morning. It's so weighty. I believe, if you agree with me, we're living in a world that's on fire. A world in crisis. A world that is in chaos. A world of confusion. And in this day, we need somebody to rise up and stand for God. And with that in mind, will you stand with your Bibles open to verse 30 of chapter 22? And I hope you came with a listening heart. This is just not to fathers, it's to every person in this room. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. Now notice this. And stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but, Sean, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Our Father, I ask you to empower me this morning. I feel like that this message that you've burned on my heart is for the time that we live. And that everyone in this room would get their antennas up. And that they would say, I will stand in the gap. And I'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. I want to speak this morning on this subject. Stand in the gap. When I talk about a gap, I'm talking about a breach. I'm talking about a hedge or a wall that has been breached. I'm talking about something that has been broken down. I am talking about an empty place in the wall. Ezekiel stands up as God's prophet. And ladies and gentlemen, if we ever need God's men to stand up, it is today. If we ever need for God's man to stand up, it's right now. He was talking to God's people. He was talking to a redeemed people. God redeemed Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He was talking to a people that God had revealed his word to. I am glad that this church still stands on this King James Bible. I believe it is the inspired word of God. I believe it is God's word for our nation. It does not need to be rewritten. It just needs to be reread. He was talking about a people reserved as God's own. If you're a child of God, you're God's this morning. God had provided for him. I want you to know something. You cannot deny that God has provided for you. You can't deny that God's been faithful to you. God had protected them. And I want you to know something. We can do everything that we can, but it's still up to God to protect us. Somebody help me preach. God had preserved them. God had promised that he would perpetually be with them from generation to generation. But by their ways and by their willfulness and by their wickedness, a breach came in the hedge. A gap came in the hedge. A space came in the hedge. And by doing that, it gave way to the enemy to break through and destroy. See, the enemy can't get to you as long as there's a hedge. The enemy cannot penetrate us unless there is a broken place in the hedge. The devil cannot stop you unless there's a broken place in your wall. And I want you to know, here's what he said. I sought for a man or a woman or a teenager or a young person. He said, I didn't seek for a president. And we're in the presidential election year. I know who I want to be president, but I want all y'all to know this. He's not the hope of America. He didn't seek for a politician. And God knows they're not a hope for America. He didn't seek for a philanthropist like a Bill Gates or a Warren Buffett, who I personally think has a big plan for a one world government and like to bring church down as we know it. I just thought I'd add that. Am I preaching? No. He said, I want a man. I want a woman. I want a young person. to stand in 2020 and make up the hedge and fill in the blank. I'm looking for a son. I'm looking for a daughter. I'm looking for a husband. I'm looking for a mother that would say, I'm going to make up the hedge. I want to give you four things. And I'm not going to say this is a shouting message because it's sure isn't. And it ain't meant to be. But will you examine these verses with me? And let me give you four things. I'd like for you to follow me, if you would. Number one, I see the horrible situation. Ladies and gentlemen, America is on the brink of destruction.
Yes, it is. Yes, sir. Preach on, preacher. You're preaching.
You hear me?
Yeah.
You listen to me? We are on the brink of destruction.
God help.
Ray, we're this close to going down the tubes.
Sir.
And y'all know that I'm right.
Yeah. Come on.
Now I want you to notice their situation. Would you look at verse 25? I want you to follow me. I know I'm preaching intense. I'm not preaching as I'm not trying to be extra energetic or less energetic. I'm just being passionate. Number one. Let me give you four reasons about their horrible situation. They had devious prophets. He said, verse 25, there's a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof. Like roaring lion raving the prey, they had devoured souls. They had taken the treasure and precious things. They had made her widows in the midst thereof. Instead of speaking the good word of God, this crowd became shysters, profiteers, manipulators. Am I preaching? We're living right where your preacher's preaching. The call of God. It's not a mommy called and a daddy sent. It's an almighty God putting his hand on a man who should separate himself and live for God. Secondly, look at verse 26. I noticed their disgraceful priest. Her priest have violated my law and have profaned mine own holy things. Listen to this. They put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. God, somebody help me. Those that were leading worship made no difference between good and bad.
Yeah.
I want to make a statement. Somebody help me.
Come on.
There's a right way to worship, and there's a wrong way to worship.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Did y'all hear me?
Yep.
Come on now. There's a right way to praise him and there's a wrong way.
Amen.
Have you noticed lately? They're sure to put it on Fox News and CNN. Some of you aren't going to like this, but Lois, I'm beyond caring. You're seeing a bunch of contemporary rock music people, rock Christian guys. Get on the social media. Go have interviews and denying the faith. Not denying God. And see, some of you asked for this. You wanted something other than old-timey religion. You wanted something that tickles the spine. You wanted something that gives you entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, we need music that reaches the heaven. We need music that touches us from God. We don't need a bunch of performers. We need God. I'm glad you are. Listen to this. They don't care if it's good or bad. They don't care if you come to church and go out there and get you a fifth of liquor and live like a devil, because they do.
My goodness.
Well, I know. We're in a time where they say, well, you preachers need to be more like us. Why don't you get you a pair of skinny jeans? Could you imagine that? And a tee. And a chain. And a big $100,000 Rolex. And roll in with your Rolls Royce. We're in a mess.
You're right.
Hear me out. I'm still preaching. Am I doing all right over there? Everybody, am I all right?
Yes, sir. Good preaching.
Look at verse 27. I'm going slow. I want you to notice her destructive princesses. They're princes. Her princes. Verse 27, in the midst thereof are like wolves raving the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. These were the guys that were in charge. They used their authority to mistreat. We see it in the home. I want you to know something. You got a home, husband and wife. Can you hear me, man? You need not to mistreat someone. You need to love your wife. You need to love your husband. We don't need a little hell. We need homes. And I want you to know something. You can only push somebody so far. You can only put somebody against the wall so far. And they're going to buck. And you can come to me and say, oh, help me fix it. I don't know if I can. Our government, we got people in charge. We got dingbats like AOC. Nancy Pelosi. Somebody help me. Mitch Romney. Better put a Republican in there. That are not representing us right. We got preachers down there in Houston that won't even preach against sin. We got preachers all over America. I call them dumb dogs that can't bark.
That's right.
They're in authority. And they're mishandling the authority. Am I all right? I'm not getting very many amens or shouting, but I'm preaching. Then look at verse 29. Don't go out here and say he didn't preach the Bible. I'll give you all the Bible. I see disobedient people. The people of the land have used oppression, exercise, robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. They were cruel people, unkind people, unloving people, unforgiving people. Are you a person in this room, you have a grudge? Talking about you. Are you an unforgiving person in this room full of bitterness? He's talking about you. Are you an angry individual that can't control your anger? He's talking about you. I've never seen in my days of pastoring so many cruel people who just, their whole lot in life is to mistreat somebody. Talk about somebody. Come on now. And we want to know why we're in such a horrible mess. You want to know why your home has a breach in it? You know why many churches have a breach in it? You know why our government has a breach in it? Because I want you to know we've got a bunch of devious people, a bunch of disobedient people in charge trying to run this place, and they're running it in the ground. Number two. How many's glad I'm getting off of number one? I'm really trying to slow down so everybody listens. I want you to notice number two. Look at it. A heavenly search. And I sought for a man. Whew. Hold on a minute. I'm doing this for a reason. I'm talking about a divine look. I'm fogging up. He's looking for a man. The preacher ain't looking for a man. God's looking for a man.
Come on, preacher.
He's looking for a woman. He's looking for a young person. I'm not talking about the preacher looking for a man. I'm talking about God looking for a man. A divine look. And I'm wearing this to respect you when I get down here. God's looking for a man. He's looking for a woman. He's looking for a teenager that says, I will bridge the gap. One thing about it, when I take these things off, hearing aids and everything else go off. Wow. He had a deep longing. He wasn't looking for 10 men. He wasn't looking for 5 men. He was looking for 1 man. Wow. Those triplets graduated yesterday. I love y'all. I know one of you's already called to mission field. Proud of you. Proud of every young person graduated this year. I'm praying you stand in the gap. Then I see a distinct leadership. A man to stand. Yeah. Brother Wolf, you stand for what? Against sin. Stand for the church. Why is it that some of you listen to the discontent members more than you listen to the pastor? Whoa.
Yes, sir. That's good. Come on, preacher.
And you never even asked a pastor's opinion.
That's right, preacher. Come on.
You assume what you hear is right.
God help.
God help us. We're looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Make up the hedge. Am I right? We need a mom. We need a dad. We need a pastor. We need a deacon. We need a song leader. We need people, members, that would just say, I don't want the devil's dynamite to go through my wall. I'm going to breach. I am going to stop the breach. Number three. I told y'all it wouldn't be long. Look at verse 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Number three, write this down. The stakes, or there's high stakes. How many agree right now? Come on, look at me. How many agree with your pastor that the stakes are high now?
Yep.
Never before has this nation been any closer than destruction. That it is this morning.
That's right.
Never before some of the churches in America are ready to just blow up, and homes that absolutely have exploded. Stakes are high.
Amen.
They're high. They're high. I may have retired a long time ago. Somebody asked why you don't have any. Because God ain't told me to. And the stakes are high. They're high. So high, if we don't have somebody to breach that gap, we're going to lose our nation. We're going to lose our families. We're going to lose our churches. The stakes are high. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Can somebody agree with me this morning?
Yep.
High stakes. Why is there people living such reckless lives? With the stakes so high? Let me show you two things that will happen. Number one, God will remove his protection. Let me ask you something. I'm going to be your preacher, man. Let me ask you something. Where would you be if you haven't had God's protection? What if God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll just use you. You're a good man. What would you do if God said, Tyler, you've been disobedient. I'm taking my hand off of you. And I'm going to let whatever comes, come. And I'm not going to protect you anymore. Is everybody with me?
Come on, preacher.
Brother Collins, the stakes are too high. Brother Chad, the stakes are too high. Deacon Board, the stakes are too high. And then I see an executing reality. The prophet couldn't stop it. The priest couldn't stop it. The prince didn't stop it. But God actually sent judgment. Somebody help me. Taze Valley is a great work. This is a great church. Maybe one of the greatest churches in America. And I want y'all to know why. And you already know this. Probably you can amen this part. Oh, it's probably not because you've got such a good preacher. Or a good pastoral staff. Though I think they're the best. I'm going to tell you why God's blessed this church. Because God's got his hand on your preacher. And got his hand on this ministry. And when he takes it off, we're done. Amen. Then he'll release his punishment. That's when you see homes blow up. That's when you see churches blow up. We see our government blowing up. Then I want to end. Usually preachers are supposed to end with something real positive. Chad, I look for it. I want to end on a positive note, church. But answer the question. Would y'all do me a favor? Would you get your copy of the Bible and read the last four words with me of verse 30? Would you do it? Let's do it together. But I found. Let's do it again. But that's a heartbreaking statement. Empty results. He did not succeed in getting one person. An excruciating reality. People had their titles. But they didn't have God's power. A hole was in the wall, Sean. I'm a daddy. And they ain't nothing like being a daddy. My daughter's on vacation, but my son's here. It's pressure. There's problems. And I want to say something from my heart. I don't think I've done it all right. I don't. But I want you to know. I'm still standing, James, in the hedge for you. I'm still your daddy. I still pray for you. Julie, if you're listening, I'm here for you. I want you to know this, James Smith, Julie Smith. I'd die for you. I would lay my life down for my kids.
Bless your
heart. And would not hesitate for one second. Y'all all with me? I'm committed. Are you? The breach is getting bigger, Steve. I know I may get some trouble for this. But I'm going to say it anyway because I don't have to be politically correct.
You're right, come on.
The movement today in America, and I respect people, all people of color, whatever color you are. The big push is Black Lives Matter, and they do. George Floyd's life mattered. But I want y'all to know something. Hear my heart. Fathers, you matter. Wives, you matter. Daughters, you matter. Sons, you matter. You're in this room this morning, lost as you can be. You matter. God sent His Son to die for you. You matter.
Amen.
You're here. And you're a backsliding Christian. You're a gossiping, backbiting Christian. You're a hurt, wounded Christian. You matter. And you need to get your heart right. You know, I wonder at this invitation. I'm done. I really am. I'm going to sit here. I wonder how many people really take what I preach seriously. And there's somebody you need to stand in the gap for. And you probably ought to just come down to the altar right now. Stand with me. And say, you know what? My church, my family, my ministry, everything's at stake. They matter. I want real revival. Father, thank you for this message. God, touch this preacher. Help me preach like I've never preached before every time I get up. My heart went out this morning. I did all I could do. I pray people would stand in the gap this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come?